the opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
There's nothing worse than circling up for a fight, and it never ends up being more than just a couple guys shoving each other. Ruggie Odor is the man. To me, I'll give him credit, because if you go chest to chest with someone, why are you going to wait around for him to hit you first?
No problem with what he did. I do think he's a totally weak little piece of garbage. If you hit a guy that cleanly and he just stands there, that's weak. Who would be more likely to lose, in your opinion, the Cavs or the Warriors? I mean, I don't think either one of them is going to.
The Warriors.
Yeah, I guess because they have a better opponent, for one thing. And the Cavs are playing really, really well. And I think this extra time off is only going to help them. They got a little bit banged up. I think now they're getting healthier. Man, they're playing at such a high level. I know it's the Eastern Conference. Kind of hard to fault what they're doing. All they do is beat the crap out of people.
I'm still saying I think the Cavaliers have the best chance of anyone to beat the Warriors.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's the number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, including any of the things you heard there, all available at podcastarena.com. So go check that out. And we did Game of Thrones at 5:30. So if you missed out on that, you can go get that. There was a little bit in the Gym of the Day segment too, which all the spoiler people are mad about. All I can tell you guys is if the majority of the listeners want to hear about it, we're going to keep talking about it. So sorry. That's can't just do everything just for you. Doesn't work that way. If you're not caught up, it's kind of a you problem. All right. So before we get to Banshee, which we will spoil for you, if you haven't seen Banshee, you probably want to disappear again, which I'm guessing it's the same people who haven't seen Game of Thrones. But some Astros news. Did you see they called up Tony Kemp to replace Preston Tucker?
And I guess maybe possibly to take some at-bats away from Carlos Gomez. Tony Kemp is a second baseman by trade, but he's been playing in the outfield a lot. Obviously, middle infield, not a need position.
Yeah, there's not really a hole there on the roster.
And it looks like Alex Bregman's the third baseman of the future. So if Tony Kemp's going to play, he's going to play in the outfield. And you know, there's room for improvement out there for sure.
Well, he's unlike a lot of the players on the roster. He actually makes contact, doesn't strike out a ton, not much power, but good speed if he gets on the base paths. So 21 walks to 22 strikeouts in 34 games with Fresno. Okay. So that's not bad. He walks. It's always a good thing. Unfortunately, at this point, you're just rearranging crap, frankly.
Yeah.
You're just throwing stuff in the air and hoping somebody can play. And unless he can pitch, I don't think it's going to help. And if you're going to keep giving up 9 and 10 runs, you're not going to win a whole hell of a lot of games, much less series. All right, so if you haven't watched Banshee yet, probably want to turn your radio down. So Maddie, who's going to join us on Friday, did have a pretty big role in Friday night's episode.
Even though it was just one scene.
It was awesome, though. He took a chair and wiped out a whole bunch of white supremacists.
Yeah. He killed like 6 crackers with a chair. Pretty unbelievable.
That was awesome.
But I was kind of bummed they didn't show it happening. They do a sort of a spin around
the room. Yeah, sort of cutaway thing.
When they get back to him, everybody's dead. Which, I mean, it was cool, but I like to see him kicking ass. So that bummed me out.
I think the best thing about the episode, and I still wonder how they're going to be able to tie up everything in one last episode. The best thing, though, was Joe being back.
Joe back, like, all the way back.
Right. And
getting his revenge.
Getting his money.
Yeah.
All the things that
Which that sets up one, I mean, that answers one of the big questions that was left, because you knew the heroes of the story, the Hood and Carrie and Job, Sugar, they weren't going to be left broke and desolate, you know, right, at the end of the series. And that wasn't going to happen. So Job got all their money back. You know, and he, not only that, but he basically set that guy's life on fire.
Yeah, and set himself up to be free of everything now.
Yes.
Which was even better. So that was terrific. So, and of course, they got the serial killer finally.
They got the Satanist guy who, I think maybe he believed too much in his powers that all. Anytime you come in, like, you can't hurt me. I didn't know that doctor was so badass.
Although he was not badass enough to leave with those two guys, even with handcuffs on. That was not going to work out well.
Not good. And he got triangle choked, like a reverse triangle. That wasn't even that deep. He should have never gone to sleep there, but that's just me. His jiu-jitsu game is terrible. But I thought it was really good the way they had that scene with those guys handcuffed. You know, this is a guy who had, you know, he kind of was bearing his soul a little bit to Brock, who of all the people you wouldn't have thought he'd be doing it to. But
there was always kind of that grudging respect, though, between both of them. So I think he almost felt like he owed it to him.
But the revelation that he actually liked being the sheriff, I thought was interesting, because you never really got that from the show. You always thought it was part of the game, but it gave him sort of a purpose, it seems. But I do think they all did, you know, it showed that they never really liked each other that much, but they always respected each other. And they had their ass-kicking scene as well. But then the Satanist guy saying, you can't hurt me, and then hurting him.
Yeah, basically just Terry, he's like, oh, you're so insignificant. Yeah, well, how's this feel? And so what's left now to be cleaned up, basically? You've got Proctor versus the
Calvin Bunker running around. He's gone off the deep end.
Right. You're going to have the Bunker battle, and we already saw some highlights of that.
That has to happen.
Yeah. And then Proctor versus what's left of those guys versus the cartel, apparently.
Right.
So that's got to happen.
I'm sure that Carrie's still upset about the whole Proctor attack Deva.
Yeah, I wonder kind of what's left for Hood and those guys to do, though, other than go after Proctor over the Deva thing, which I think Proctor's got enough of a mess anyway. I don't know that that's going to matter. But it's the whole show has just been fantastic, and they're really finishing strong, and I'm really looking forward to the last one. But I'm kind of sad about it. I think they could have easily done another year. And I think this whole thing with him not being sheriff is even better. And I'd love to see another year of it. But obviously that's not going to happen. So it's going to wrap up. And I hope it's a satisfying ending. And I still think this show is going to go down as if it finishes anywhere near the way I think it's going to, is one of the best ones that we've seen.
I think what are your final predictions?
Well, hey, I was right about Job getting his money back.
You were.
I was not right about FBI agent getting her heart chopped out. Close, but didn't happen. No, she may still be dead. I still think that Proctor winds up somehow. I think Proctor winds up dead. One of these main characters can't survive, right? I think it may be Proctor. It may be Brock.
I think it's Hood.
I think he survives. I think he's going to survive. I think the four...
Because, think about this.
It'd be cool if they killed him, don't get me wrong.
What could happen where you would feel like Hood would be at peace, and it would be like a suitable, tied-up ending?
Well, him dying, probably.
That's the only way.
Yeah, although I kind of think him and Carrie getting together with Deva and getting, you know, kind of into retirement thing, while it wouldn't suit him, it would be a sensible ending.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they may be setting it up for him to die, which would be okay. I think that'd be a cool way to end it, because you obviously can't continue the show if you kill off Hood.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I kind of think Proctor is going to be the big one to die. And I hope, although I do hope that Burton survives.
I do too.
He's such a Terminator. I just want him to, I want him to live on even if the show's gone.
Yeah.
But no, it's going to be, I'm planning my entire weekend around
the finale.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything Friday night except watching that. And you know, I'm not having any alcohol until it starts because I don't even want to drink too much early in the day and then pass out and miss it. I want to watch that show, and I can't wait for it. And it's one of those things that it's cool because been on it from the beginning, but it's also a little sad that they're wrapping it up on us. But I think it's going to be awesome. All right, you know what else is awesome is helping people out, and that's what you can do just by donating a vehicle you're not using anymore. And maybe you got one that got flooded. Maybe one's been sitting in your garage. You didn't know what to do with it. Maybe you were going to fix it up. Well, here's what you can do. Donate it to Houston Cars for Kids. They're going to come tow it free of charge. Your donation's tax deductible. They'll fill out all the paperwork. And if you donate today and tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, they're going to give you Astros tickets on top of that. And here's what they do with that donation. They help kids at Houston Can Academies, which is a fantastic school that gives at-risk kids another chance. Kids who have dropped out at other schools. Maybe they had to get jobs. There's all kinds of reasons. And they get another chance when they go to Houston Can Academy. And the Can Academies provide them with things that they need. If it's glasses or transportation, that's where your donation goes. And so many of them go on to graduate and do great things and change the world. And you can help do it just by getting rid of something you're not using anymore. Give Houston Can Academies a call, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. So, a lot of talk about coaching, and we heard Delotti say that Van Gundy is gaining momentum. I don't know what that means as Rockets coach. There's a guy who might be out of a job that I would be on the phone to right away.
Who's that?
Apparently, according to Jerry Wolfel, scuttlebutt at NBA Combine in Chicago is that Terry Stotts returning to coach the Blazers isn't a slam dunk.
Man, you talk about a guy I think overachieved with that roster.
Absolutely. They lost five of their top six players from last year's team.
Including the number one free agent overall.
Yeah. And still went 44-38. Played the Warriors pretty damn well, considering. Won a playoff series. I can't imagine that you wouldn't want that guy back. Now, he may want to go somewhere else. But I don't know. I mean, I if I'm the Rockets, I kind of wait and see. What
I wouldn't be in any hurry.
Yeah. If this guy's available, I'd go after him. And I like Jeff Van Gundy, but I like him doing what he's doing. That almost seems too predictable. Let's go do this again. Haven't you already done that?
I don't know. I don't know what he could do with this roster.
I don't know what anybody could do with it, but at least a guy like this, I'd be real interested in seeing. If he can overachieve with that group, I think he can do something with this one. You know, once we know who else is here besides Harden, I think that's the other half of it is we have no clue what the rest of this roster is going to look like. The other kind of sportsy thing is, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's starting to be some pushback from some owners on Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Most notably the Falcons owner, who is a little concerned about how it would be as an NFL market, which I, if, you know, if I own the Falcons, I'd be concerned too, because Atlanta's a horrible sports market. But it would be the fifth smallest media market. The only four that are smaller, Green Bay, Buffalo, New Orleans, and Jacksonville.
Okay.
719,000 TV households. Having said that, I think the part they're really missing is how many tourists are there every single weekend. Yeah. And they're going to put up the money for the stadium, basically. There's enough of a base there. Plus, people are going to travel for those games. I have a lot of friends who every year they go to at least one Texans road game. You don't think they'd want Vegas to be part of that?
For sure.
I mean, people would do that for pretty much every road game there. So I think it makes too much sense. I think it'd be a terrific NFL market. And as a media market, yeah, okay, so it's not one of the biggest. But an NFL team also helps grow your media.
But you know what? The places where they mentioned Green Bay and Buffalo and New Orleans, maybe not as much Jacksonville, but those three teams, Green Bay, New Orleans, and Buffalo, have never had a problem filling the stadium.
No.
Even when they've had piss poor products.
And those are and they're the only thing in those towns, basically. Yep. And as media markets, yeah, they're not that great. But those three teams are basically iconic teams. I mean, it's Green Bay especially, but the Saints, for years it was for futility, but even the last few years they've been one of those, and I think ever since the hurricane they've kind of been a different, you know, they've been a team that people root for. And Buffalo, same thing. I mean, it's a team that went to four straight Super Bowls. I think Jacksonville's the only one, and they're all worried about getting burned by another Jacksonville, but Vegas ain't Jacksonville. And Florida markets in general are not good. And no. I think that's
it's not a great sports state.
No, it really isn't. So,
and really, the number of markets that you could move to that are, you know, big major markets is fairly limited.
Well, they've all got question marks. And I think San Antonio, Austin.
Here's the markets that are bigger than Nevada that don't have a team. And you tell me if the NFL would work there any better than it would work in Vegas. Orlando.
No.
Sacramento, California.
No.
St. Louis.
You've already said you don't want to be there.
We've tried that twice, yeah, right?
Yeah, that hasn't worked out.
It's failed twice there. Portland, Oregon.
Portland might actually work.
Maybe. But they don't have a stadium.
No, that you'd have to have. I mean, I'm assuming that any one of these you're saying, they're building a new stadium.
Right. And Portland doesn't. They don't want. They're not. That's the kind of state that sports is. I mean, sports are fun, but that's not a priority.
Well, I mean, the ones they have there, they're crazy about, though.
Raleigh, Durham.
No.
Hartford, Connecticut.
No.
Columbus, Ohio.
No.
San Antonio.
San Antonio, as I've always said, I think if you put one out there by Retama Park, you put a stadium out there between Austin and San Antonio and make it a dual kind of team, that would work.
Because San Antonio and Austin are both bigger markets than Vegas.
Right. And if you bring the two of those together, I think that would work really well.
Salt Lake City?
Maybe. I wouldn't dismiss that one out of hand.
Milwaukee?
Not really, because
they've got the Packers.
You got the Packers, so that's not going to work.
Greenville, North Carolina?
Not a chance.
West Palm Beach?
Nope. No more Floridas. Well, you didn't mention Toronto, which I think is also a possibility down the road.
I was giving American.
Yeah. Or Mexico City, which I don't think is a possibility. But no, I mean, really, other than Austin, San Antonio, and maybe I'm a little bit biased there, I would rather see a team in Vegas than any of these.
I would too. I would too. I do think an Austin or San Antonio would work. And really, I think either one would work. And I think that the other city would grab onto that team.
Well, and that's the thing. I think if you made it a Central Texas team, now there's a huge Cowboy population there that you'd have to win over. I mean, especially San Antonio. That's like all Cowboy.
Yeah.
But I think it would work. And I do think, you know, we're not afraid to build stadiums in this state. We've seen that.
No.
I mean, even some of these high school stadiums that they spend way too much money on. mean, every college football team has a new stadium. Yeah. So, yeah, I could see that working, but the reality is there's just not a lot of viable places left to go. And I think Vegas is viable. And I think Austin, San Antonio, and I think Toronto. I think that's about it. I mean, otherwise, and you've got this Jacksonville mess. At some point, that team's going to have to move.
Eventually.
And I think that's where you'll see them go to one of those markets. But there's really just not a lot of places left where you can move a team and say, oh, we're going to be successful here. Because you've either already failed a couple of times or there's just not that many great markets. Now, you don't need to be a huge market. We've seen that with Nashville and places like that. But you've already got a lot of those teams, too.
Yeah.
And you know, you need to be in some big population areas. And I would say the one thing about Vegas, very similar to Austin, San Antonio, and really all the Texas cities, it is growing pretty fast, just like all the cities here are growing really fast. And I think, you know, Austin and San Antonio in particular, 5 years from now, that's going to be a much bigger media market than what it is now.
Yeah.
And again, I might be a little biased there. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And Robert says, no way Jerry Jones would allow an NFL team in San Antonio.
He's one vote.
He's one vote, yeah. And the truth is, if somebody really wants to move a team, they've already shown it. The Raiders have already shown you can't stop them. You ideally want them to approve it, but
if they don't, you can work around it.
Yeah. And that's generally what will happen. Drug Bevo says, sign me up for the Texas Raiders. Yeah. All right. We'll take some more phone calls when we come back. But right now, you got to tell the people about they're dragging all that stuff in their house from all that rain.
That's right. All the bad weather, and it's supposedly going to go on all week. Listen, if you get your carpets clean and you do it by some average Joe Schmo out of the phone book, or you go to HEB and rent the steam cleaner, you're gonna leave your carpets dirtier than you found them. A lot of these other carpet cleaning companies will leave behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick. Not dirt free. Call Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning, 281 Dirt Free, and go chemical free with Dirt Free. They've got these powerful engines that create high pressure steam made from their patented super water. Your carpets are fresh and deep cleaned without soap or unhealthy dirt attracting chemicals. They've been doing it for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. They can clean any surface you can throw at them. Call Dirt Free Carpet right now, 281 Dirt Free. Tell them you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5. They'll clean three rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers at 281-DIRT-FREE. That's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet. They always want to come, but they never want to leave.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Nick says the Raiders in San Antonio would be perfect. They already have the colors.
That's true.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good fit, but looks like, well, I guess the other team that might.
I think if the Raiders wanted to be in San Antonio, though, they'd already be there.
Yeah, and I just don't think they're going to build a stadium for them. That's a problem, and the Alamo Dome is not good enough.
No, the Alamo Dome wasn't really good enough when they built it.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was good enough, but it wasn't state of the art when they built it. It would have been an average NFL stadium when they built it.
And now it'd be
the worst stadium in the league, probably, yeah. or up there. It wouldn't be worse than where they're at in Oakland. But it's
not much different, really.
No.
And, yeah, so obviously they'd have to build a stadium. But, I mean, you could play in it until a stadium was built.
Yeah.
So
It wouldn't be the worst temporary fix.
And I guess the other team that technically might still be on the block is San Diego if they can't get a. I mean, it sounded like they were going to get something done there. But if they don't, that's another team that could potentially be on the move. Let's try Henry. What's up, Henry?
What's going on, guys?
Sports.
Hey, they talking all these teams moving around and whatnot, going to different cities looking for markets. I mean, do you guys think Houston can handle a second team?
No, not a chance. Not a chance. In reality, only New York and L.A., and even L.A. I'm not so sure about.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, that for some reason, that's, I've heard two or three people bring that up. That's just impossible. It's crazy talk. There's no way. You have the team you're going to have. It wasn't that long ago you lost a team here. So let's not create silly scenarios. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, yeah, I had a story that was going to be gym of the day, and then I wound up with the snake thing. And I think this is one of those I kind of want to get your opinion on. Kind of curious what the Blitzers think. This is from Black Sports Online. A guy wanted some advice, and so he wrote him a letter.
Okay.
And says, I'm 32 years old. My girlfriend is 31. We've been together for 5 years and now live together in a nice house. Things have been slowly fizzling out, and I've been feeling like we don't belong together for a few months now.
It happens.
I feel like if I don't make a decision soon, we will be married, and I will feel this way forever. But on the other hand, getting a kidney transplant has changed my life for the better in so many ways. I feel like staying together is the right thing to do, even if I'm not in love anymore. She gave him a kidney.
Gotcha.
I'll never be able to pay her back. I'm so torn and conflicted and feel like I have to make an impossible choice. If I stay with her, I'll always feel trapped and in a loveless relationship. If I break up with her, I'll forever feel like an evil person for dumping someone who literally put their life on the line for me.
That's tough, man.
Isn't it?
I don't know. You got to do what makes you happy in life, but if you're willing to take someone's organs, you should probably be committed to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's rough.
I kind of feel like there are certain things if somebody basically saved your life, you probably have to take one for the team there.
Yeah.
I know. Look, no matter who you marry, after a certain amount of years, it's going to be miserable anyway.
Take it from Fred.
At least just accept that somebody gave you a kidney, you probably owe them.
Yeah.
And just have an affair. That's the easiest thing.
Jeez.
Well,
that's not the easiest
Okay, don't
thing.
Do that. But anyway, I think you got to stay with them. 832 says Chicago could probably do two teams. Not much longer. I mean, that the population there is going down every year.
Yeah.
And I don't think they could. That's a bear city. Somebody asked, what about Dallas-Fort Worth? No.
The answer is no.
No. Nobody except New York and maybe L.A. That's it. Oh.
And even L.A. has had a hard time.
Yeah, I don't think L.A. can really support two either.
I mean, they could, but they wouldn't.
832, stay together for the kid niece? Let's take a call from Chad real quick. What's up, Chad?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Man, that's a tough situation that guy's in. I can't imagine being in that situation. But, you know, you kind of tell her how it is because he marries her and he sits there on the altar and marries that woman. He's going to lie to her face the entire time that they're married, and she deserves better than that, especially if she gave him a kidney, you know? It's a tough situation, but the longer you stay in a loveless relationship with somebody, you're not doing them any favors.
That's true.
Because you're not giving it your full potential, you're not giving it your all, and they could be with somebody who is. So you gotta give up that thought of just staying with them forever, and you gotta be a man and tell her how it is.
Here's what I think. I think it's much like an engagement ring. since they're not married yet, you should give her back the kidney. Just say, look, it didn't work out. Yeah. If you're the man and you're engaged and then you decide not to get married, you'd expect the ring back, I feel. Or at least a woman.
And then go get a kidney. Go get a kidney off a dead person that you don't have any contact with.
Just say, you know what? It was a mistake for me to take this kidney when I took it. I'm sorry. I hope we can still be friends. Right?
Well, yeah. Because if she doesn't take the kidney back, you've got this weird attachment where you've got this piece of her inside you, and that's not cool. So, I found that an interesting ethical dilemma. I would probably take one for the team there and just, you know, try to make the best of it because you do kind of owe that person a kidney.
Yeah.
So he says, you're only considering the guy. What if she feels like they don't belong together also? Well, she didn't write a letter. We only have the guy's side. And, you know, maybe she does say, hey, you know what? Gave you a kidney. Good for you. Out of here. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I only have the man's perspective to go on here.
Yeah.
So.
We can't write up everything.
No. But, I mean, not that I'm saying it's the best advice.
There's no good advice in that
situation. No, it's not a.
There's no good answer.
Yeah, just get, you know, I'd say marry her and then hook up with your secretary or something.
No.
Well,
don't marry her if you don't love her.
Well, come on. What does love have to do with marriage? Ever.
Oh, Fred.
Am I sounding like a cynic again?
Yes.
All right. Well, maybe I'm not the best person to ask for advice on this. 713-780.
You could ask Attorney Gary Trichter.
He doesn't
know a lot about.
But he knows what happens if you don't want to go home, so you go out and drink too much. Or maybe you didn't drink too much.
Maybe you're accused of drinking too much. That could happen.
Yeah.
Remember, the tests that the police will give you for alcohol are not necessarily reliable. They're designed for you to fail. And, you know, you could go through the phone book and find any old Joe who will take your case, and he'll go in and he'll plead guilty and hope that the judge takes it easy on you. Maybe you'll just lose your license for a while. Attorney Gary Trichter is a DWI specialist. Four lawyers in the entire state of Texas have earned that designation, a DWI specialist. What that means is they're experienced in telling the truth about these tests, and he's experienced in doing it in a trial situation. And Gary Trichter is right here in Houston as one of those four. Remember, if you failed the breath or blood test, don't just give up hope. There's too many faults in that science to let it go unchecked. If you failed the breath or blood test, call Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now. It's 713-524-1010 or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for Attorney Gary Trichter.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. The HD show hits the road on Mondays. Join Fred Davis and Henry Thomas as they broadcast live from Max Place in Spring. Located on Luetta, Max Place is offering 35-cent wing specials with $4 crown, Jaegers, Tuaca's, and Sailor Jerry's. Come by and turn Monday into Funday with The HD show. All right, let's do the dumbass report.
All right, let's start in England, where Maximilian Kelly is 25.
That's a cool name, Maximilian.
Yeah, well, this guy's not that cool.
No, he's probably not living up to his name, but with a name like Maximilian, you should be able to score women with that.
He was found guilty of exposing himself to shoppers at a store in England. He told a jury that he had a medical condition and he needed to readjust his oversized testicles because they were so swollen and people just happened to see. As a result, he accidentally exposed himself to the shoppers last September. He's a guitar player by trade, but says he has a condition known as hydrocele. The jury did not believe him. He was found guilty of indecent exposure. They then heard that he had previously exposed himself from the window of his home on 6 occasions. He used a laser pen to get women's attention before flashing them. He was serving a suspended prison sentence when he flashed at this store, so he was jailed for a total of 36 weeks. He's also been banned from the store forever. No word on if he actually has avocado-sized testicles. Hmm. That would be pretty impressive.
Well, people would have seen them, though, right?
Yeah, but I don't think, like, when you get a girl on the stand to discuss it, you say, "Well, ma'am, did you see his testicles?" "Yes, I was traumatized." "Were they really as big as avocados?" That would be improper line of questioning, I believe. Hmm. Let's go to Yellowstone Park next, Fred, where a couple tourists, they decided that the young buffalo, young bison that they saw walking around, it was a calf, they decided that it looked cold. So they picked it up and put it in their car. These are people that were chaperoning a group of fifth graders, and they took it to the ranger station. They were demanding to speak with a ranger. They were worried the calf was freezing and dying. What they didn't realize is bison are made to be in the cold. They can handle that.
Yeah.
That's the way nature works. They really thought they were doing a service, but the ranger said, remove the bison from the car. You could be in real trouble for having that animal. They were ticketed. The father and son were from another country, apparently. Well, bad news. Turns out the bison was rejected by its herd and had to be euthanized today. So if you're at a national forest or something and you think that an animal that's living in that forest looks cold, probably just go ahead and leave it alone would be the best way to go. They got a handle on this thing. It's been working this way for a really, really long time. And finally, this is the most terrifying story I've read in a long time. Doctors in Barcelona are claiming that sex roulette parties are taking place.
Oh, I saw this story. In fact, I was going to bring this one up, so I'm glad you have it.
Usually amongst gay men, and we've heard rumors of these parties amongst wealthy people in Serbia. The thrill, apparently, comes from knowing that one person at the party has HIV. And
it's a big deal in Spain now, and it's not just among the gays. It's straight people, too. They have these orgies.
It's ridiculous. There are parties that you can only attend if you already have HIV, which that makes sense. You know, you want to have a sex party, you've got HIV, go have a sex party with other HIV-positive people. But some of the parties are known as blue parties because attendees take antiviral medication to cut the risk of transmitting the virus. Last year, a Serbian stripper called Tijana claimed the parties originated in Serbia and were named Serbian sex roulette. This bizarre variation that seems popular for extreme sex, people who turn up for the party wear masks, and one of them has HIV. The wealthy organize these sex parties for other rich people. The real kick for these people is apparently the risk that they might be the one having sex with the HIV-infected partner. That's absurd.
Man, I like to think of myself as progressive and liking fun things and all, but I don't understand that even one little bit. Why on earth would... I mean, what's wrong with just having fun sex without having to worry about somebody having HIV?
Yeah.
You know, when I saw that headline, I thought it was more like roulette, as in like if you, figuratively get the bullet, then you would have to do something kinky. But then when I read that, I was like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. And the story I read was it was getting very popular amongst teens.
Yeah, it's Spain.
Teens are really into HIV these days.
HIV sex.
Yeah, it's way different than when I was a kid. Well, that's your dumbass report, guys.
Did you see this website that this kid from Austin started for Americans who want to move to Canada if Trump gets elected? It's called Maple Match.
Oh, boy.
It's a matchmaking service that makes it easy for Americans to find the ideal Canadian partner to save them from the unfathomable horror of a Trump presidency.
Nothing could save you from that.
The service's founder is Joe Goldman, a 25-year-old education research and entrepreneur from Austin.
How many people do you think are really going to move if that happens?
None. And just stop with that. It's for one thing, if you're that liberal, you probably should have moved already anyway.
Yeah.
If you really think that this is going to be that different. I mean, presidents don't do that much anyway. How many people? Well, there were so many people who said they were going to move when Obama got elected. Yeah, that didn't
happen.
They're
all still here. They're all still here bitching and complaining.
Yeah. So everybody's
staying. And everybody who, if Trump does get elected, you'll all still be here bitching and complaining.
Yeah, and that's okay.
That's what Americans do.
And if Hillary's elected, I'm going to be here bitching and complaining. But apparently they've had almost 200 sign up requests an hour. So 5,000 people have signed up for Maple Match, and the app hasn't even launched yet.
It has nothing to do with syrup, huh?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on who you hook up with.
Couple shout outs. Chris said that his 21-month-old daughter just got to go home from Texas Children's cancer free. Congratulations, man.
Yeah,
that is a cool deal. And a shout out to our boy, Cody Owens.
I saw that he got another victory.
Boy, it was a scrap. And he had me worried early on, but of course came through like a boss and retained his title, his legacy to amateur title. So happy for my boy Cody, who continues to impress. So congratulations to both you guys, Chris and Cody.
Awesome.
Michael on Twitter wants to know, did AJ catch the Bellator fights this weekend? Or are you
still
on
my DVR? I had a hard time. I'm having a hard time getting into that. Their fights are usually just so bad now. They're making ridiculous matchups.
That Dada thing is still in your head, isn't it?
Yeah.
That whole card that was here is still in your head. I can tell. And Kimbo Slice, when those guys almost dropped dead in the ring, that'd have been funny. But yeah, we talked a little bit about the fight side. We didn't talk about Cyborg though. What's your thoughts on her debut?
She is a savage killing machine, and I'm telling you, she did say one thing after the fight that kind of rubbed me the wrong way though. She made it sound like she has no interest in going down to 135, which I thought that was the whole point. I mean, if you're coming and she's like, it would be disrespectful to my division, but the reality is her division doesn't exist in the UFC. Yeah. So either she's going to have to figure that out, or there's no one for her to fight because there's not a 145 division. So I think she needs to figure out how to lose that last 5 pounds, which will be tough. But
for one day, though. I mean, lose it for one day, and then you put it right back on. You've done that.
But, I mean, it was unbelievable how sharp she looked. And that poor girl, that poor Leslie Smith, just didn't stand a chance.
Yeah. I don't know who would stand a chance against her, but somebody had to fight her.
She'd be a plus 220 favorite against, or a plus 220 dog against Ronda.
Really?
Yep.
I'd take that.
A minus 250 favorite against Miesha Tate.
Mm. All right. That's going to wrap it up. I want to thank Jong Lee. Great job. AJ Hoffman. Great job. Myself about a D plus
You've
for the
done
day.
Worse.
It's a Monday. Yeah. We've got to get off to a slow start. We shall see you guys tomorrow. Until then, stay sports, you bitches.
ESPN 97.5.